The summer series is titled The Story in Stained Glass. The Bible reading for the window called The Cross on the Rock in the Sea is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. It's on page 16 in the New Testament portion of the Red Pew Bible, on the screen, or in the bulletin. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go out on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. By this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Our summer sermon series is titled The Story in Stained Glass, and the window of the week is the cross on the rock in the sea. It's located in the northwest corner of the sanctuary, right back there. I see that most people here are Lutherans, and you knew we were going to be preaching on that window, and that's why you're situated in the back. I got to tell you, it's an awesome piece of artwork. It leans us into this subject: inconveniences. Inconveniences. There was a short editorial in the Fredericksburg Standard about a week ago that caught my attention. It was about the expansion that's going on at HEB. Anyone see the article? Anyone see the expansion going on at HEB? Well, of course you have. Oh my goodness, it is a major undertaking. And it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great when all the dust settles. I mean, come on. In addition to curbside delivery, we now have renovated restrooms, new customer service desk. We have these fancy checkout, self-checkout stands. There's a produce warehouse going on the west side of the store. And on the east side, have you seen that new structure on the east side over by the pharmacy headed towards the baseball fields? You seen that big structure over there? You know what that's going to be? That is going to be a corn storage warehouse. Check this out. It should be no surprise. Along with ice and Lone Star beer, our HEB is the largest seller of deer corn in all HEBs in the state of Texas. It will hold 70 pallets of deer corn. Oh my goodness, instead of an 18-wheeler rolling in every week, they'll be able to stack it in there and bring it out when need be come deer season. Hey, no store does more than your HEB. This newspaper article went on to say that some people, as we're going through this build-up and this renovation at HEB, are a little bit disgruntled about all the inconveniences that are going along with the expansion. And I was in HEB, last Friday a week ago, and I have to agree with the author as I was watching some of the reactions of people. You would have thunk that the price of chicken quarters had gone to $5 a pound. People were frenzied in their face. They had furrows in their brows. They were asking questions like, where are the tangerines now? Where do they hide the bananas? The avocados aren't where they usually go. Where do I find the lettuce? And though there was plenty of extra staff on hand to point people all in the right directions, there was still this bit of irritation in the air about the inconvenience of a temporary arrangement. It reminds me that we are a people of convenience. We grow accustomed to a certain way that certain things are done. And then we like things to be like we like things to be. And even the slightest little interruption causes us to get just a tad bit agitated. The manicurist put on the wrong shade of red on your toenails and now it clashes with your sandals. Oh! The TV internet was out and you had to listen to the NBA finals on the radio. I'm paying for this service. The waiter at the restaurant brought chicken fajitas instead of beef and you had to wait for another 15 minutes for another order. Don't they know that I'm starving? The ex-wife is 10 minutes late in dropping off the kids. I'm going to kill that woman. And the idiot tourist in town took up two turning lanes going onto Main Street, and I had to sit through another traffic light. Get your thumbs off your phone and drive.
Right. We all become annoyed, frustrated, blood pressure rises when presented sometimes with even the most minor inconveniences. We are a people of convenience. Today's stained glass is the cross on the rock in the sea. And it's about how we as people of faith are called to respond, not just to the little, but to the large inconveniences in our life. This particular window is one of the older ones of our church glass treasures here in our sanctuary. It was placed in 1938, and that means it's part of the group that was placed in. The first ones were 1920, then 25, then 38, then 49. But this 1938 one in the back over there is still written in German. It's Auf Deutsch. It was given by the granddaughter, or I should say the granddaughter-in-law of our very first pastor, Pastor Henry S.W. Bassey. Bertha Bassey was the one who gave it. The script reads this: to the memory of Mr. Henry Bassey, that's her husband, born on August 14, 1876, and died December 8, 1936, donated by his wife, Mrs. Bertha Bassey, 1938. I want you to feast your eyes on this window and think about the context of the day, the context of the time. What is going on in this woman's life in 1938 when this window was dedicated? I think about Bertha's life up to this point. She, along with an entire country, had lived through a World War I just some two decades earlier. She had lived through that. One of her family members had served in that particular war. She had just now coming out of the Great Depression, still living with the devastation and the remnants of that Great Depression. She had lost a husband just 2 years ago. Henry died at the age of 60, 1936. And right now in 1938, you know what's going on around the country and around the world? There are new murmurings that there could be another world war as Germany is trying to raise its head again. And she's worried, I think. She's possibly worried that she may have another family member who has to go and serve in this war. And she ends up having her son, Udo Bassey, who was actually called up. Bertha, like so many of her contemporaries, had not only seen, but she had also lived through plenty of inconveniences in this life. And so it's no big surprise that in 1938, when the church is adding stained glass windows, that Bertha Bassey donates this window. And it pictures, get this, a woman. a woman holding on to the cross on the rock in the sea of life. Our own lives are filled with lots of inconveniences, are they not? Rough seas, some little, some large. The couple desires to have a child but can't get pregnant. There's too much month at the end of the money. Your teen is arrested for being in possession. An elderly parent who's legally blind won't fork over the car keys. A lump has just been detected. Another digit has to be amputated due to diabetes. Your wife mentions the word divorce in a text message. Another miscarriage. A parent buries a child. Choppy waters. Gale force winds. White caps. You see it on the sea? White caps on what was once still and quiet waters. All these are inconveniences on the sea of life. And you know what? As people of faith, this should not surprise us, because Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have conquered the world. I hope you hear it. You know, it's so important to see what a Bible verse says, but what a Bible verse doesn't say. It doesn't say you might have troubles in life. You may have trials and problems in this life. It doesn't say that. Jesus said, in this world, in this life, you will have tribulations. By the very words of Jesus, we will have inconveniences in this life. And whether it's your newspaper being thrown at the wrong place in your lawn, or the word malignant is brought up at your follow-up appointment. Little and large inconveniences. And our faith is measured in how we respond to these inconveniences. So we're going to zoom back in to the Bertha Bassey window, because it offers us at least three faith responses. They're written at the bottom of your left-hand panel in your bulletin. If you want to take a couple notes, you're welcome to do that. First of all, this window reminds us to stay on the rock. It's noticeable that there's far more water in this picture than there is solid ground to plant yourself on. That means that in this life, there will probably be more storms, more temptations, more trials, more challenges, more obstacles than we find firm places on which we can rest. But remember what that rock represents as we sing that great hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand. How does it end? All other ground is sinking sand. So the encouragement here is to stay on the solid ground and out of the turbulent waters. A couple of weeks ago, Tammy and I, our son and daughter-in-law, took a little trip to New Orleans. You know, they don't say it New Orleans over there. They say it Nolens. And boy, we had a great time. We ate some wonderful Cajun food, tasted beignets at Café du Monde. We walked on Bourbon Street in the daylight. We even went on a swamp tour. While we were on this swamp tour, we were in a boat, and you know, this is southern Louisiana, and it's hot there. And more than hot, it's humid. And I got to tell you, that water looked oh so fine just to take a dip in, just to invite us to get in and cool off. But along the way, we spotted some of these prehistoric creatures. Some were even up close and personal. The guide kiddingly said that he was about to introduce a new tour feature, similar to swimming with the dolphins. It was called swimming with the gators. There were no volunteers. We all stayed buckled in the boat. You see, when faced with an inconvenience in this life, the water can appear to be inviting, but can also contain some pretty serious perils. Because getting off the rock, getting off of Jesus and entering the waters of this world can sound something like this. Maybe overindulging in alcohol to numb some type of pain. Maybe stealing or lying to help make the ends meet. Maybe compromising business ethics in order to just get the deal. Maybe being involved in ungodly sexual practices to keep the relationship intact. Possibly unbridled spending just to fill a certain void. Bertha Bassey had faced some very serious storms in her day. And though she may have slipped off the rock on a couple of occasions like we tend to do at times, maybe she even got thigh high or neck deep in some sort of sin or collaboration with Satan, the faith encouragement for her is the same faith encouragement for us 81 years later. And that is to stay on the rock, who is Christ. That's point number one. Point number two, the window reminds us to look at Jesus, to look at what Jesus has done. See where her focus is? You see where her eyes are set? Her gaze is laser focused on what Jesus has done for us. It's not the face of Jesus. It's the crown of thorns. That was the great storm, the great inconvenience that Jesus faced for us. He suffered, he bled, he died for us. When you are up against an inconvenient situation or event in this life, fix your eyes on what Jesus has done for us in taking on the inconvenience of human suffering for our sin, for our salvation's sake. And therefore, trust that he knows exactly what you are going through, because he went through even more on the cross. And he knows your pain. And he is with us in our struggles. Hebrews 4 says it this way: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." The temptation is for us to cast our eyes on the storms around us, on the inconveniences that swirl around us, instead of what Jesus has done for us. Our Bible reading today was Peter walking on the water. But he wasn't walking on the water the whole time, was he? You know, there's a storm that blows up. The disciples are by themselves in the boat. There's that big storm. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. They think it's a ghost. Then Jesus identifies himself. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come walking to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come on." So he gets out of the boat and he starts to skate across this stormy lake. All is fine and good for the moment until he starts to focus more, the story says, on the wind and the waves. And he starts to sink. I hope you hear it. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he focused more on the storm instead of the Savior in the storm. I love the words of that great hymn, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." For we actually focus not just on Jesus' suffering, his bleeding, his dying on the cross for us, but we also focus upon his victory over suffering on Easter. You see, our faith looks to the cross. Our faith looks to his suffering. Our faith looks to Jesus and not to the storms around us. And finally, number three, cling to Jesus. When faced with the inconveniences in this life, it's sometimes hard to hang on, isn't it? Yeah. When I was a kid facing a challenge, my dad had a saying. He'd say, "Son, hang on." And he'd say, "Hang on, Sloopy." There was a song like that. It was released in 1964. "Hang on, Sloopy. Hang on." Anybody know the song? Yeah, you've heard of it before. I'm not making that up. Yep. "Hang on, Sloopy." And so when I was faced with a particular challenge in life, he'd say, "Hang on, Sloopy." And whether it was Little League and I was in a pitching pickle, and he'd say, "Come on, hang on, Sloopy." Or whether it was working through a knee injury in high school, "Hang on, Sloopy." Or whether it was a situation of digging deeper for passing a test or getting that first job, hang on, Sloopy. And there were times when I was able to hang on. The other times I got tired and I couldn't hold on. And I would fall, I'd fumble, I'd fail, only to have mom or dad pick me back up again, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and again encourage me to hang on, Sloopy. God encourages us to hang on, Sloopy. Hang on, Sloopies. Cling to Jesus. That great hymn, Rock of Ages, says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Cling to hope. Cling to hope instead of desperation. Cling to forgiveness instead of guilt. Cling to new beginnings instead of the old past. But most of all, cling to the one who clings to you. Look very closely at this picture. It reveals that this woman, and possibly it is Bertha Bassey, it appears that this woman is with her right hand and fingers, she's dug deeply, she is clinging tightly to this crevice on the cross. You see it? You see it with her right hand? She's holding on for dear life. But interestingly enough, she's not holding on with both hands. Look at her left hand. It's open. It's not clenched to the cross, but it's lifted up. It's raised up to God and to heaven, to the God who always holds on to us, especially when we cannot hold on ourselves. A week and a half ago, June the 6th, communities around the world commemorated the 75th anniversary of D-Day, 1944, World War II invasion of Germany-occupied France. One of the commemorations involved some former paratroopers who made the jump at Normandy 75 years ago. This man's name is Tom Rice, the one closest to us. He's 97 years old. He reenacted the jump here just a couple of weeks ago as he made that jump three-fourths of a century ago. And check it out. He's not alone. And check it out. He's not even holding on. He's being held onto by the straps of another paratrooper. Because obviously at 100 years old, he's not strong enough to hold on himself. I love the witness of this window. Because I'm not strong enough to hold on many times as well. We cling to a faith that proclaims this. It is not our strength. Not our strength that sees us through the inconvenient storms of this life, but it is God's strength as we trust in Jesus. May we stay on the rock. May we set our eyes on Jesus instead of the storm going on around us. And may we cling to the one who will forever cling to us, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.